Well, after the American tour, which ended in March 2002, we sort of came back to England and wrote some new songs. But, you know, frankly, we were cream crackered, yeah? Knackered. Yeah. We played our last date together as a band at the Isle of MTV show in Portugal around, when was it? It was June 2002. Yeah. And that was it. And after that, we just concentrated on trying to make this sort of turdy gorillas film.
Yeah, well, we got so many offers to make a film in America. At the time, it seemed like a waste not to take the opportunity.
So we all moved over to L.A. for a while, you know, La La Land. And we sort of hired this big house out in the sort of, kind of like a Hollywood thing, you know. It's like up in the hills, you know, so that we could sort of, you know, sort of be right in the hub, you know what I'm saying? In the hub of where we were sort of meant to be filming. But I've got to say, you know, man, there was a lot of great distractions, you know what I mean?
And the film negotiations were just endless.
Oh, man, that was just, like, really, really tedious, yeah?
Yeah, we got caught up in rehearsals, meetings, script approval.
The script was unfinished. The people writing it thought they were making a very insightful yet ironic comment on popular culture, a supposedly non-linear Charlie Kaufman-esque animation in which the four main protagonists, namely gorillas, fall randomly in and out of a number of surreal situations. But in fact, the scriptwriters were just like, making it up as they went along.
Will you wake us up when you finish, Noodle?
I guess what she's trying to say is they thought it was going to be like a modern version of the Monkees movie Head.
Yeah, yeah. Thing is, the person they chose to play me looked like some old wrinkly geriatric, you know? It's really insulting. You know, and he smelt, you know? What a pen and ink, you know? I think it might have been Robert Downey Sr. I mean, that guy must have been pushing 70, you know?
Have you looked in the mirror recently?
Listen, mate. I may be no spring chicken, but I don't look that rough, do I? I mean, the wrinkles on my face are all laughter lines.
Nothing's that funny. Anyhow, the situation went downhill from there. No one was focused enough. 2D couldn't understand the difference between film and reality. Murdoch got himself kicked out of the Playboy mansions for stealing ashtrays.
And Russell got a big fat ego and then changed his name to R. Diddy.
So eventually we decided to cut our losses and take time off to recuperate.
This just led to further misadventure.
So, you know, man, you know, when we realized we were just sort of whistling in the wind, we decided to have a break from each other. So I headed down south to try my luck in Mexico. Yeah, Mexico. Yeah. But, you know, there was some sort of mix-up, you know, my finances, and I kind of got accused of...
Yeah. He was found using counterfeit checks in a Mexican brothel.
Yeah, the Chicken Choker. A wonderful place and fantastic staff. Happy days.
Basically, he got caught passing dud checks off as payment to the girls. And consequently, Murdoch got taken to jail.
Yeah, all right, Russell. Russell spent a long time trying to recuperate. He ended up living in Ike Turner's basement. Ike Turner! You went a wee bit mental, didn't you, Russ?
Well, he certainly looked a lot like Ike Turner. I was working on an album of my own, but eventually it felt like the album was working on me. It was a strange time. When you work in a band with people for such a long period, and then that suddenly stops, it can leave you at a loss. I think I had some kind of breakdown. I just lost one of my closest friends, Dale, the spirit who used to live inside me, and the strain was starting to show. Every song I tried to record would become a hallucination. Then the hallucination would try to write the song, which would then get up and become
Russell, man.
I'm sorry.
No, it's man. It's all right.
I'm sorry.
Take it easy, man. Take it easy. Have a salad. You know? Okay. It's probably best, you know, not to dig too deep on this one. Dark place, man. Dark place. Mm. So, anyway, after 18 months in this sort of Tijuana jail, I thought, enough is enough. And with a little help from my friends, I got myself sort of out and back home to Blighty, the good old U of the K. But I tell you, that's enough South America for me for a while. You know, the prison food, yeah, it's rubbish. I don't think I could eat another burrito in my life.
Yeah, but you still like a bit of Mexican sausage, eh, man?
Shut up, you little So, by the time I got back, Noodle had also returned from her trip to her Japanese homeland and was already in the process of recording a new album, or, you know, at least laying down a lot of the groundwork.
Yes, I had been in Japan for about a year, researching my past, as it had always been a mystery to me. It was during this period that I was awoken from my extended amnesia, and in doing so, I discovered many interesting facts about myself, one of which is that I knew English language fluently. Having been revitalized, I returned to England and I began to lay foundation for a new Gorillaz album. However, Kong Studios, where we live and record, had been lying dormant and empty during our absence.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's hard to get good staff to clean a haunted studio.
Yes, no one had maintained the building and it had also been broken into. There seemed to be a plague of the walking undead infesting the building. Corpses lined the corridors.
So once we were back, it took a little while to get into the swing of things. I mean, it can be very distracting when you got 6 or 7 decomposing zombies stuck up your chimney flue, you know.
We got chimney flu?
I'm speaking metaphorically, Dee. I'm using the analogy of a chimney flue to describe the passageways of our flowing creativity. The zombies in this case are used as a metaphor, as in blockages to the airways, figuratively speaking.
Really?
No. There really are about 6 or 7 undead carcasses stuck up the studio chimney.
Well, that explains the smell, wouldn't it, yeah.